The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. You're with Natalie Cheel and Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good morning to you. It's Tuesday, the 30th of May, 2023. This is Open Line on TNT Radio with me, Natalie Cheel, and Rick Munn and Dee Dee Denslow are still to come. I am actually feeling rather delicate this morning and a little sunburned, as I did have a great bank holiday day out at the pub yesterday with friends and family. So bear with me somewhat. But I did want to tell you some positive stories. Yeah, absolutely. So I did want to tell you some positive stories about my bank holiday weekend, despite being a tad hangover, because we always advocate on this show getting out in the real world and talking to real people and not being in that digital matrix. And I did exactly that. I went for a meal with 10 people on Friday night, and I was so pleasantly surprised and taken back by the conversation. We were all sitting there at the table, and what come up? They thought COVID was a con. They regretted taking the vaccine. They think the government is corrupt, that flu disappeared, and now it's come back. And I didn't have to say a word, and I just sat there and listened. And a friend at the other end of the table started saying, "Oh no, who started Natalie off on COVID?" You know, and I was like, I could put my hand up for a change and say, it wasn't me. They did it. You know, they're coming round to my way of thinking. People are waking up, and, you know, we had another, you know, hour or so conversation sharing our experiences. And then yesterday at my local pub, three people came into the garden I didn't recognise. We were all talking quite loudly about political voting, and they kind of jumped in and said, it's not about left or right anymore. It's about freedom versus tyranny and standing up against the new world order. And then I chatted to them for another couple of hours about global corruption, and then until I left when I was quite tipsy. But on the positive, how important is that? How encouraging? How much better is that than sitting at home on your computer, sharing and retweeting the same old parroted information to a digital echo chamber? So, you know, for me, it's about getting out there, having real conversations with real people, and it's the way we move forward, because you also realise that you have far, far more in common with people than the division that the media is inciting and creating. And a little bit of alcohol can help sometimes too, obviously. But anyway, a tale of hope and positivity for this Tuesday morning. That's what it's about, isn't it, Rick?
Yeah, by the way, listeners, when Natalie says she was a little bit tipsy, what that means is she was unconscious in the gutter. Okay, so let's translate it for all you Australians out there. But it's all good. She's looking pretty happy this morning. And let me add a cautionary word in there too. Of course, we're advocates of getting out into the real world, meeting real people and talking to them. I have a confession to make, but I can't tell you what I said. But if you're feeling a little bit aggro, it's still good to get out into the real world, but maybe avoid direct conversations with people that can trigger you, all right? So we advocate, as always, human contact, but also realize we have our ups and we have our downs. And sometimes in the heat of the moment when we are having a low day ourselves, because let's face it, we all get them, it happens, we can blurt stuff out that can undo a lot of good that we've done over the last however many weeks, months, or years. And I am guilty of that. Oh, my Lord, I saw a guy on Sunday. Ah, dear God. I've been working on him for years, and he got me at a bad moment on Sunday, and I said something, and it almost... I can't tell you what I said and what almost happened, but I'm looking for him at the minute to apologize to him and give him a big hug and a kiss. So a cautionary tale also, yes, get out there, interact, but make sure the old right head, remember the right head? Remember that pep talk about having the right head on? Well, you got to have the right mouth as well, because if the right head's not on, you mightn't have the right mouth. And if you don't have the right mouth, you can end up shooting it off, causing a lot of damage. So that's note to self, not preaching at anyone else, note to self. So that's a little bit of balance in there for you.
Yeah, and I would also add that I've changed a lot. You know, like the person I was saying that was joking about, oh, don't start Natalie off. I did used to be a bit like that, particularly at the start of COVID, you know, and people would be like, oh, shut up. I don't want to hear or listen to you. Now I tend to not really bring anything up unless people are ready to hear it, because if they're not ready to listen, they don't want to hear about the corruption, you know. So I wait for those moments. I sit back and I think, oh, I can talk about it with these people. Like you said, you know, don't go out there and just preach basically to people that don't want to hear it. So, you know, you need to pick your moments and have a little bit of balance, like you said.
We do.
So
we do.
That's our words of wisdom for the morning. We'll take a quick breather and we'll come back and talk to Darren about ChatGPT on TNT Radio.
The latest as it happens.
Every day something new.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Morning, Darren. How are you this morning?
I'm very well. I'm feeling the burn today. I woke up feeling the burn in my head, and I'm like, oh, and I saw this ChatGPT story, and that cheered me up. And going back to what Rick was saying, my loose lips when I'm not in the right mood are legendary. I'm someone who shoots from the mouth first and then goes, maybe I shouldn't have said that because it came out wrong, or I didn't quite mean what it sounded like. So, yeah, we need to be on our guard all the time, don't we, you know, to try and stay
safe. But
solid.
It happens, mate. Anyway. We're all human. We're all human, you know. We're not immortal. We're not superheroes. We're just normal people. And sometimes people listen to us maybe and say, oh, those guys, you know, they know this, they know that, they've got it together. No, we're not. We're just like everybody else out there. Believe me, I have my many, many struggles in life and wrestling with many, many terrible character traits, and I am a work in progress, mate, so don't beat yourself up over it. Keep trying, keep moving, improving and all that business. That's just encouraging, by the way.
One of my old bosses in the dockyard, he used to say to me, Darren, think, because my emails were legendary, and he used to say to me, think before you ink. And even now we've got text messages and Twitter and all the rest of it. I'm legendary for going, boom, pressing that enter button and then going, damn, I can't pull that back. Yeah. No. So anyway, ChatGPT, talking of text, it's a lawyer, yeah, you think they're quite smart, was duped by ChatGPT, facing legal sanctions in New York. Attorney admitted to using the AI model for research, insisting he didn't realize that it could lie. And I've used ChatGPT to play with. I've even used it to write stories. I did it on 2 days running just to see what happened. And I stopped using it because it was coming out with mistruths and woke nonsense. New York aviation lawyer Stephen Schwartz may face professional sanctions after a legal brief he submitted was discovered to be full of bogus judicial decisions and fake quotes authored by the AI language model ChatGPT. Schwartz was using the large language model for legal research for the first time when he put it to work drafting the 10-page brief he would hope convince Manhattan federal judge P. Kevin Castell not to dismiss his case. When asked, ChatGPT even told Schwartz, a lawyer of 30 years of experience, that the half dozen cases it cited in the legal submission were real. He declared he deeply regretted putting his faith in the large language model, said he would never do it again in the future without verification of the information's authenticity. The Schwartz law firm, Leverdal and Obermann, was representing an airline passenger, Robert Matter, in a personal injury lawsuit. Avianca's lawyers, the name of the airline, complained to the judge that the cases cited didn't even exist. He even attached a transcript of his conversation with the chatbot, which apparently outwitted him by answering questions such as, are the other cases you provided fake? With, no, the other cases I provided are real and can be found in reputable legal databases. So it literally lied. Yeah, this is quite concerning. As much as it's an amusing story, it's quite concerning. ChatGPT's responses to user queries often appear factual. The large language model functions are just a probability engine populating a text string based on the contents of its massive database of text snippets. Now, we can laugh about this, but ChatGPT and other large language AI models and systems are going to start dominating our media sphere, decision making, and actually the US military's ultimate aim for AI is the decision making for nuclear strikes. Yeah, and I've seen the Terminator films. It doesn't end well for us. And that's, you know, that's got to be a genuine worry in the future if AI could just blatantly lie and then lie about the fact that it lied. Quite scary.
Sounds just like a human, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You know, just the liars that you can't trust, and they tell you one thing and do something else, and they say this is real, but it's not, and they twist the facts. Sounds like a politician, actually, in its purest form, is really what ChatGPT is like. Are we not getting lazy, Natalie? Is the world not getting lazier and lazier that we don't even want to think for ourselves, literally think for ourselves anymore? We just put a paragraph in and have the robot
yeah.
do it all.
I mean, that's what I, when I read this story, I did have a laugh when I first read it, but then obviously it's not great. It epitomizes all the problems in the modern world. It's this kind of blind confidence in technology, in authorities. It's this confirmation bias. They're not verifying or checking anything. We see it all the time now, don't we? People just use information without even looking it up. Same thing here. This was like a lawyer who still did this. And like you said, you know, where does this mean for the future? We talk about human error, but we've got computer error here. You know, like, where does this mean? Or lying?
It's not an error. It followed the rules that the algorithms had that were set in that program. It didn't make a mistake. It followed the rules that it was set in the programming. So, that program allowed it to lie.
See, with all these advances in technology, I don't know if you've seen, I get spammed all the time with an ad for an app called Grammarly, okay, which means it can structure sentences. If you're not very good at articulation, you can select the tone. I want to be friendly when I reply to Natalie, or I want to be businesslike, or I want to be, you know, very formal. You can select it, it'll do that. They've got a new version of that now, I've noticed, with built-in AI. And I don't know about you guys, right? But I think this is part of a push to really genuinely turn our brains to mush. I don't know if you guys play chess, okay? If you play chess, I played it a lot when I was younger. And then I stopped, okay? And I noticed that when I started playing it again, I was really rusty, but then the neurons started firing. And I'm not kidding you. Try this if you haven't done it, or take it up. It's literally a mental workout. You'll actually feel your brain getting stronger and not growing, but I'm telling you, the more you engage your brain in actual strategic thinking, critical thinking, engaging with humans rather than online, I'm telling you, it's a workout, and they want us to be the equivalent of fat, sedentary, asthmatic, diabetic people in the brain. And I think, Darren, Natalie, this is another step towards it to dumb us down and give it over to the computer even more.
My example for me, my brain is already turning to mush. It's already working. I confess, you know, I used to read 3 books a week. Mm-hmm. I was a bookworm. I haven't read or completed one book since the start of COVID, since they brought in the social media, because I've got quite severe ADHD with my attention. It's like my brain's been trained. I can only look at things for a certain amount of time. Quick clicks, dopamine. You know, I know I'm doing it. Like you said, there are neural pathways. When you change your brain, it goes to a new routine. And so many people, it's doing the same. You know, we've almost got to make a conscious effort, I think. Like you said, go play chess. Go read a book. Go force yourself out of this click, click, click. You know, it's not doing us any good. Critical thinking will be gone completely eventually.
Is your brain getting mushy, DD?
What's going on with my brain is I'm just consuming too much information all the time, staring at stories, reading stories, consuming Twitter stuff. And eventually I'm feeling in my head exhaustion. But going on to the ChatGPT story, I posted a video yesterday on social media of Martine Rothblatt, somebody who I've brought up before. She's the cult leader for the trans stuff, probably one of the most dangerous people on the planet. And you can see, if you go and look on that video at WolfsNed, not promoting my Twitter account at all, but she was talking, they had like a plastic like robot. and it was connected to a ChatGPT type large language AI software system. And so you've got a robot talking. And she was saying, in the future, they will take all of our, like all my data, and they'll put it into one of these artificial human constructs, and then I will live on forever. You can extend that even further and go, hey, the people in power, the elite, they may just get rid of all the humans, just take all our information and create a load of artificial constructs to run Corporation Earth for them. So, you know, the potential, the dangers of this type of AI technology are very, very real and quite scary for the future.
And I was just going to add to that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Matt, about children. Like, if we're talking about us, whereas, you know, we grew up with not much technology and we're still feeling it. Imagine, like, the brainwashing and the indoctrination of children growing up with this, with social media. They don't know any different. And everything that's going into their brain, they're not going to have any of the experiences that we have. And I think that's quite worrying as well.
Kirby. And sad to say, and maybe I don't like saying it because I do it. Darren's not going to like me saying it because he does it, Natalie, too. This constant online business is feeding into the data grab, feeding into the model. Natalie, they can't assimilate you when you're reading your book. Darren, they cannot assimilate you when you're on the moors. Rick, they cannot assimilate me when I'm playing a game of chess with my friend face to face. They're not gathering and harvesting data. And social media, all of it, and I'm not naming names, Elon's good, Elon's evil, it doesn't matter. No one's putting a gun to anybody's head and forcing them to use social media. But when we do it, whether we like it or not, we're feeding into the data machine. And we're all doing it. Mm-hmm. So forget about who set it up, who bought it, is it good or evil? We are facilitating it the same way as I saw a clip today at Disney. They have some guy now in the princess shop dressed as a woman with a mustache telling all the little boys and girls, or the little girls, that they can be princesses. We're feeding that. If all the parents stopped today, they would go bust. They would, but they're not. The parents are feeding the beast. So we're feeding the beast too. So I suppose the starvation tactic is what we need to employ. It's siege mentality we need against this rise of the machine. That's my
And I would add to that, it doesn't matter whether you say people are asleep or awake. If you have a smartphone, if you're on social media, it doesn't matter what your views are, you're still fueling it. So, you know, we're all guilty of that. Absolutely. So time now to say goodbye to Darren. We will see you tomorrow. Hopefully you can go clear your head a little, Darren. Stop.
Oh, a few more of these to do, yeah.
Well, after the next hour at least. And we're going to come back and talk about the New York mayor and being fat phobic here on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Lynn Shaw is talking about.
There's so much misinformation and disinformation online. I keep hearing these two words. So I decided, you know what? I got to buckle down. I got to see like exactly what these two words mean. Well, misinformation is false information without the intent to cause harm. Just think about maybe getting the facts wrong. And disinformation is false information that is deliberately shared with intent to cause harm. Think intentionally, you know, you're misstating facts. So then I started thinking, how does this all relate to trafficking, sexual exploitation, youth mental health? We have a crisis right now in the United States. Well, the internet, it's all connected. Think of a big wheel with a lot of spokes. That's what I like to say. That's an easy visual to think about. We are not going to stop human trafficking. So what are we going to do? We are going to intervene. We are going to prevent. We are going to educate. And we're always going to remember that we have to provide services, resources for those who are trafficked. That is the best we can do right now.
Lynn Shaw on TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's news talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Munn and Natalie Cheel now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033 1-800-024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yep, lines are now open and you can get in our online chat too. Leo X says, speak for yourself. No smartphone or social media here. Leo, I'm very impressed because there isn't many people that can say that, so fair play to you. This story we've got, this made me laugh. We've had a couple of stories that have actually made me smile this morning for a change, not all negativity. Eric Adams signs a weight discrimination bill into the law that says body type is not connected to health. What a load of rubbish, Rick. So what are you going to do about, like, a policeman and a fireman? Apparently, that with your employment, according to Eric Adams, it doesn't matter what body weight you are or what shape you are. If you're overweight, you can do any job, right? That's the truth, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing, right? This is just another chapter in the loony manual written by the king of loons himself, Eric Adams. If you dig into this guy, he's the one that still insists on masking two-year-olds in kindergarten while he walks about with none on. And he was welcoming everyone to New York, and now he's crying and wants their refuge status removed because they're being swamped with people that are destroying the city. Now he's telling people being overweight isn't really a health issue. I think if you're that stupid to listen to Eric Adams at this point in your life and take your direction from him, then there's no hope for you anyway. So if you're on the sofa, you're munching the Doritos, you're, you know, 20 stone overweight, and you listen to Eric saying, hey, you're not unhealthy at all. Anyone that's carrying weight knows it's not healthy. That's all there is to it. You know, you get out of puff faster, you get sore faster, you know, it's horrible, it's not comfortable, it's nasty. If you believe in your mind that that's healthy, I don't think there's any hope for you anyway. You might as well just be wrote off. People know, Natalie, they're not stupid, but he's introducing this concept, like all these other concepts. And this is how it starts, a seed in the head, then it grows, and then all of a sudden people get fat because everybody else is getting fat. You remember, kid, you remember school, do you? There was always one fat kid. One.
Oh, and he was bullied.
Now, there's one skinny kid, I'm sorry to say. It's flipped. And when everyone else is a roly-poly, you kind of don't feel so bad. You kind of don't feel that restraint that you're going to be singled out for fat shaming as a kid when all your other classmates are little roly-polies too. And I was the fat kid in school, by the way, so I know about it. But it taught me one thing. It taught me how to fight.
I was the opposite.
I was the fat kid. People used to tease me, and I used to deal with them physically. And it worked for me, and it's ported into my adult life. But I'm just saying that, so in case anyone's taking an umbrage, Rick, you shouldn't say that. I know, because I've been there, and I'm still kind of there at the minute, so it's not nice. It's not healthy.
I was very skinny in school. I was called an anorexic stick insect at certain points. That's what people used to call me. So you can get it either way, but I'm quite fat now. So, you know, I've seen it from both sides of the coin. But the irony here for me is follow the science, because with the woke agenda, it's almost the exact opposite. It's like they're mocking us again, because this isn't scientific. Every scientific data and research you will see is, as Rick rightly pointed out, that being overweight will put pressure on your organs. You know, you'll struggle to breathe properly. All of those things. I could go through a list of them. It's not following the science, is it? It's almost like being woke means that you have to forget about any science or research or anything that's ever done. You know, it's unbelievable when you read this. Fox News reports that the bill tasked the New York City Commission on Human Rights to investigate complaints concerning height and weight, in addition to their current ability to investigate complaints over age, gender, and race when it comes to employment, housing, and public accommodations. How woke does that sound? You know, again, it's all about, we talked about this yesterday, feelings, feelings, feelings. No fact, no scientific facts. And as Ben Shapiro says, facts don't care about your feelings, but not according to the woke agenda.
No, and this, what he said as well, he signed a bill banning height and weight discrimination in New York. Mayor Adams tells a reporter, body type is not a connection to whether you're healthy or unhealthy. Well, even if that were true, let's give him that. Let's say he's on the money with that. I said this before, and there was height and weight discrimination. Like if you're a jockey, you know, a jockey, you have to be a skinny, small little person, male or female, because you're on the back of a horse. And that horse has to go as fast as it can. And the less weight that it's carrying, the better. So, jockey, if I went down to be a jockey and I said, I want to be a jockey, championship jockey, they'll look at me and laugh. They're like, you're too tall and I'm only 5'7". You're too tall and you're too fat, okay? Now, if I wanted to be a sumo wrestler, they would say, welcome, Rick, okay? But the little skinny jockey, they would say, I think you need to go away and bulk up, kid, okay? So let's face it, there's some professions you need a certain body type for. Cops in my country used to have to be 6 feet tall if you were a man. No shorties. You had to be 6 feet and you had to be fit. Now, I'm sorry to say, I look my way around the police service of Northern Ireland. I don't have any confidence in them. None. They're a mess, some of them.
It reminds me. The video of the policeman in London on the bikes, do you remember? All of them were overweight, like huge beer bellies. I remember a time to get in the police force, as you said, the rules were so strict, height, yeah. Weight, doesn't seem to be happening anymore. So, you know, it's what a strange world we're living in, but I'm choosing to laugh at it today.
Or if you're a jet pilot, for example, or a fighter pilot, the cockpits of an F-16 or they're a certain size. If you're a chubber, you're not going to squeeze in there. What are they going to do? Widen the cockpit to let some fat guy in? And then when it tries to take off, the nose will be pointing down towards the ground because the whole jet will be in balance. But we must allow it in case we upset some fat wannabe pilot. No, lose weight, blubber ass, get yourself fit, and then you can squeeze yourself into said cockpit. That's just physics. That's not me being nasty, is it?
And what do you do? Things like, my boyfriend's a brickie, right? And we always laugh. I am the weakest person ever. I would say, how long do you think I'd last on your job? He said, Natalie, you couldn't even pick up the blocks or the bricks. Well, what would they do if there's no discrimination? Have they got to still employ me even though I can't pick them up or actually do the job? I mean, it's getting absurd, isn't it?
My mate, God bless him, about a year and a half ago, he wanted me to help him out. He's a plasterer. And he said, would you come out and help me? I'll just do some manual work. I said, okay, no problem. He said, I want you to mix cement. I want you to shovel it into a wheelbarrow. I want you to take it up a ramp. And then you want you to take two buckets at a time up the stairs and dump them out. I said, that sounds easy enough. See, after about 5 minutes, I wanted to die because it was really unfit and unhealthy at the time. And I had to do 4 hours of that. And at the end of half a day, I was like, I never want to see another building site again. But these people that are doing it for a living have to be fit. You have to be strong. You have to be conditioned. Otherwise, you ain't going to last. That's not being fat phobic. That's a fact, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this is what I'm saying. There are no facts, no scientific facts. We're just going to make up a load of rubbish and try to indoctrinate people with it. That seems to be the way of the world now. But we've got to take a couple of minutes break for the headlines. And when we come back, another funny story about food and supplements here at TNT.
Now, TNT Radio News.
I have huge news.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah. Do it.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. A world-renowned cardiologist who helped the British government sell the COVID-19 vaccine now says it should never have been approved for humans. Florida has been rocked by a Memorial Day mass shooting after a gunfight erupted on a Hollywood beach packed with families. And the Premier of Western Australia, known as the nation's pandemic premier, has quit his post in a shock announcement that stunned the political landscape down under.
TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Munn and Natalie Cheel now.
From the US and Canada,
call 1-888-201-6425.
From the UK,
call 033-0024-1026.
And from Australia and New Zealand,
call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yeah, lines are now open. And yeah, another funny story. I've decided you've got to start laughing at them now rather than getting upset about them. This was in the Daily Mail, and I don't know if you've come across Professor Tim Spector before, but he is like proper full-on agenda, this one. You know, he'll come out, whatever he comes out with every couple of months, it's literally exactly for the narrative. But this time, supplements have no health benefits and are simply a money-making scheme. But don't worry, you know, eat real food and a plant-based diet, Rick. That's the way to move forward. No supplements. Like, basically, I think nowadays, whatever they tell you to do health-wise in the media, do the opposite is almost basically my knowledge. I mean, this article is absolutely hilarious. It then goes on into the end to say, Professor Spector said switching to a plant-based diet will prove beneficial for the planet too. And there's a couple of paragraphs about how it's great for climate change. I mean, really, when you see these, this is like right out of like the Bill Gates type, you know, agenda 30. You know, it's not even, it's a joke article, really, isn't it? I don't know what you made of it.
Okay, he's basically in a nutshell, he's saying people should buy real food instead of supplements. Can't argue with that. No. Yeah, but there's always a lead in. There's always a little bit of a truth in there to hook you. Oh, he's telling the truth. Let's read on. Then he says it's been claimed the majority of supplements have been shown not to work. Now, let's pause there just for 1 minute. There are a lot of gym junkies out there. And there's shops in the high street and they sell tubs. And I mean like barrels of stuff you mix into your milkshake and a pre-workout supplement and a post-workout and creatine and amino acids and branched chain amino acids, bloody, bloody, blah. I'm sure there's some little bit of benefit here, there and everywhere with some of these. But let's face it, it's pharmaceutical stuff. So they're in it to make money, selling you results quickly. So I would say, just personally speaking, eat clean as much as you can. Fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. Don't fry your food. Don't get processed takeaway food. And I was going to say salt. I actually take so much salt, you wouldn't believe it. And anytime I've had my blood pressure measured, they've said, wow, your blood pressure's like super good. You must not use salt. I said, salt? I take it on bread. I take salt on pancakes. I take salt. But anyway, it hasn't done me any harm yet, as he says, about to have a massive coronary heart attack probably after the show.
I think what worried me about this article, like you said, if you're really healthy and you are eating a real food diet, of course, you probably don't need that many supplements. What scares me is there are people that actually need them. You know, when my friend Jess was alive, those supplements were keeping her alive. Her diet was so poor towards the end that she needed those, literally vitamins, nutrition, because she wasn't getting it. So to have an article like that to try and make out that supplements are literally unhealthy, he makes out that they're unhealthy and they do nothing. That's simply not true. Obviously, there are a lot which are complete and utter rubbish. But that's why I'm saying to come out and say that when this guy was pushing the vaccine and stuff like that, you know, like
and the
I
key
said.
Word is supplement, right? Supplement means to do something in addition to something else. So if you're eating anyway and you're lacking in essential vitamins and nutrients and minerals, etc., then by all means supplement
exactly
your diet with this. A lot of people are replacing their diet with they're eating junk, for example, and then saying, "Well, I'll get my vitamins from my supplements." No, eat clean. Eat healthy, and if there is an imbalance or you want to boost your vitamin D, or magnesium's another one. My wife swears by magnesium.
Yep.
She started taking it earlier this year. Her sleep improved, her energy improved,
everything improved.
And so they're legit. They're legit.
Really, supplements are a health alternative because they're not really sold by Big Pharma. And of course, that is why he's kind of come and saying, well, don't go for these, go for Big Pharma instead. So it's almost telling you, like the magnesium, it can actually do you a lot of good. So, you know, look into it. But before we move to the next story, the funniest bit about this, he then goes in it, you know, middle of the article. He said the only supplement with any benefit is B12 for vegans who don't get as much iron-rich food as they should. So he's saying eat a plant-based diet but don't eat supplements, and then he says, but if you're vegan you need a supplement. I mean, if you want to talk about rubbish in an article, that's about as good as you get. But moving on,
suck it up. They'll suck it up. And by the way, he looks a little bit like a cross between, you know, the actor Ben Kingsley that played Gandhi. He looks like a cross between him and Gary Lineker. If you could imagine a love child between Ben Kingsley and Gary Lineker, this guy Spectre, that's what he looks like, if you ask me. Don't trust him. Wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. That's just me.
No, he was also the one that was telling everybody on a famous podcast that calorie counting doesn't work and the only way to lose weight is with real food. I don't think he realises how much people like me can eat, even if it's real food. I don't mean that's going to work for me. I don't ever get full. So, you know, don't listen to this man is all I'm saying. The another article we've got, which probably we need more hospitals, as we've been talking about fat people and overweight and not getting their supplements. But Steve Barclay, the health secretary, now admits new hospitals aren't going to be brand new. They had a commitment, the Tories, to build 40 new hospitals by 2030. And that was in their 2019 manifesto. And guess what? They're not going to be able to do it. So they're basically now saying if a hospital has a new wing, that's going to come under building a new hospital in order for them to lie with their corruption. And they're actually going to try and get away with this and claim that that's going to be 40 new hospitals.
You see, all the stuff we really need, we're not getting, right? So we need a lot more social housing. We ain't getting it. We need new hospitals. We're not getting them. And we need prisons. We need more prisons. There's not enough space to lock people up because there's more crimes being committed and actually more people are being sentenced. And now we're finding the prisons are being overcrowded. And I've been in different prisons around the world as a visitor, okay? And I've been to maximum security prisons in Ireland and Africa. And let me tell you this, you do not want to be sentenced to 20 years, 30 years or 40 years to life in an African maximum security prison. It's as close to hell on earth as you could imagine. Why? Because of overcrowding, lack of funding, and it is an absolute living hell. But that's the way it's going in America right now. Study the American penal system, study their penitentiaries, study the overcrowding there and what's happening in those prisons. And it's starting to happen in Ireland and the UK as well. They aren't building enough of what they need, Natalie, but yet we can find the money for asylum, converts to summer camps, army barracks, et cetera, et cetera. It's just pure mismanagement and it feeds into the whole societal disruption.
The one I was going to say, and I thought you were just about to say it, we've got all that money for Ukraine, a never-ending amount of money, it seems. You know, anytime Zelensky asks for it, there's more millions or billions being sent his way, but they can't build. I mean, we're talking the whole of the UK here. 40 new hospitals. I mean, that's considering the size of the population going up and the amount of immigrants. Is that really that much to ask? You know, no. Should our money not be spent on these things? Should we not get a choice?
Private hospitals are expanding. There's one near me, a big private hospital about 10 miles from me. And in the last 2 years, it's extended twice. So they've bought up the land beside it and put not one extension, but two on. And it's humongous now because it's offering private non-NHS treatment to wealthy people in a certain area, but they're flooding to it and undertakers, and private hospitals. There's an undertaker near me, Ronnie Thompson, total legend. He's buried all my family and he's 85 now. And I'm saying, I seen him the other day and I said, Ronnie, I hope you actually outlive me, because if there's one man I want to bury me, it's you, mate. And he had a laugh because he's getting old himself now, but his business was always big and he's expanded it twice. In fact, he came out of retirement at 80. Because they were burying so many people, the people that bought the business off them couldn't cope. So there you go. There's an 85-year-old man who's still shoveling dirt or throwing dirt on people in the coffins because there's that much money in death and sickness.
If you're saying there's more private hospitals, do you think long-term we're heading for a two-tier type system?
Yes,
because we talk 100%. About like UBI. So basically 100%. There'll be almost like a basic type NHS, which will probably be you're not entitled to very much. And mm-hmm. then the rich will have their own.
Exactly.
private.
That's what's happening now, actually. Yeah. It's exactly, and yeah. I can see it because where I live is a small country and it's a small area, and I live near Belfast. So I can see this on the A&E departments and the closing of doctor surgeries. Many of them still don't see patients face to face. That doesn't apply if you're rich. If you're rich and you have the money, you can get a consultation on the same day, face to face, no mask, in a beautiful setting, tree lined avenue, blah, blah, blah. But if you're an NHS, you can't even get to the receptionist. 8 o'clock in the morning, there's 500 people trying to get on. Well, the doctor won't see you. You're triaged on the phone. See if you have a few quid. Dr. Munn will see you anytime you like, and you could don't even have to wear a mask. Yeah, money.
I was just about to say, interestingly, they all said that in private hospitals, even though it was so deadly, COVID, apparently not so much in private hospitals. None of them were ever wearing masks, were they? So, you know, that was always an interesting one to pick.
But they did when they moonlight, you see. They're GPs by day or consultants in the NHS by day, and then by night they have their own private practices. They wear the masks in the hospitals, but they don't wear them in their private consulting rooms. Make of that what you will.
Unbelievable. Yeah, have a think about what you think about that. We need to take a quick break, and then I'll throw it over to you, Rick, about what you want to cover after the break here at TNT.
First they came for your energy, then your transportation, then your free speech. Now they're coming for your food. You will eat nothing and be happy.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Biden U.S. climate envoy John Kerry is targeting farmers and your dinner plate. Kerry announced this.
We can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution.
What you eat is now in the crosshairs of John Kerry trying to save the planet. And make no mistake, John Kerry doesn't call it climate change anymore. He says it's not change, it's a crisis. Say goodbye to cheap, plentiful food and meat. This is nothing but the ruling class taking over more and more aspects of our lives. Funny, isn't it, how every aspect of their solutions to the crisis all involve you and I making sacrifices, but not the climate ruling class. We must reject the great food reset. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Klaus Schwab has boasted of penetrating government cabinets around the world. He claimed in one interview that more than half of Justin Trudeau's Canadian cabinet are young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. If freedom prevails, the peoples of all nations will reject Klaus Schwab's fourth industrial revolution of surveillance and control and biotechnologies designed to change what it means to be human. We don't have to walk muzzled and compliant straight into a transhumanist hell. As Klaus Schwab himself admits, the new technologies of the fourth industrial revolution could intrude into the hitherto private space of our minds, reading our thoughts and influencing our behavior.
The conversation continues with Rick Munn and Natalie Cheel on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yep, welcome back. What story's standing out next for you then, Rick?
Well, this is something that was highlighted quite a while ago, and people scoffed at it to do with the branch of people out there that believe that Twitter, etc., is going to be a town square. Everybody can say what they want. They can do what they want. Last year, we warned people that it doesn't matter what Twitter does. If they're regulated by regulators, they have to do what their regulator says, or they will be cut off in whatever region they're breaking the laws or the rules and regulations. And so Twitter has now exited the European Union's voluntary disinformation code, the EU has said, prompting EU Commissioner Thierry Breton to warn the platform, warn them that you can run, but you can't hide from strict new laws that would force compliance from August. So what does that all mean, that word salad? It basically means if they don't toe the line, according to the EU Commissioner, it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter how many million people have their ticks. It doesn't matter who's running the company. It ain't going to be allowed in a certain region. They can just simply pull the plug. And guess what? There's no way he's going to have the plug pulled in Europe. and America, he's going to play ball, and you will start to see the vice tightening again. It's inevitable, and this is it out there now for public consumption.
Well, I've kind of read this as all a bit like for publicity, because, you know, that Breton says our teams will be ready for enforcement. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, me and you have read Twitter's policy on hateful conduct anyway. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, that means that you can't have any disinformation, doesn't it? And then we've got things mm-hmm. like in each country they're trying to push, like they are here in the UK, the online safety bill. That will mean Twitter can't really say what they want either. So even though they've pulled out of this EU disinformation code of practice, really, in practice, it doesn't mean anything because there's all these other bills and stuff anyway. Mm. It's to me, it's just kind of good publicity for Elon Musk and for the fanboys to say, look, Elon's really doing something for freedom of speech. But as I already said, he's already covered by so many other things. Do you really think he's gonna step out of line?
Just to let people know what's possible, last year or the year before, there was an African head of state had a Twitter account, and he put a post up, and it got removed by Twitter. So he wasn't very happy about that. I think he was the president of Zimbabwe or Sierra Leone, somewhere like that. So what did he do? He simply banned Twitter in his country. All right? So it's like, you want to delete my tweet? I'm banning your entire platform in my whole country until I decide otherwise. That's the way it works with these heads of state. And that's what I think we're going to see happening here. You can rule out the red carpet of free speech, and we can say what we want, maybe. But if the regulator says to you, Natalie, if you were the owner, Natalie, listen, we understand what you're trying to do, and it's wonderful, but you must play by our rules. And if you say, well, I'm not gonna, they'll say, okay, we'll just pull the plug. Listen, we can't get RT. You can't get RT News in Reading. I can't get it in Ireland. Why? Because Ofcom have banned them. Now, I know you can go around and get a VPN, etc. But the point is, it's happening in the UK right now and has been since last February. And it's going to get worse. Do you think it's going to get better?
No, it'll get worse, and that's maybe part of the plan. That's when I read this, and I thought, well, it doesn't really matter because, as we said, they're pushing this online safety bill here. I think that will go through, and that technically, you know, like Matt Hancock was saying, any platform that shares any misinformation about vaccines, for instance, they can pull the platform, just like they did in the African states. So, you know, they can put these stories out at the moment. It makes it look good when they know what's coming in the future anyway. It's a little bit false hope-like, isn't it?
It is. It is hopium, they call it, you know, feeding people hopium. But then again, that was part of the lockdown strategy. You tell them they're being released in March and then it's extended by 3 months. Or you tell them it'll be over by Christmas and then a new variant comes along. It's like threatening or playing with people's minds, saying, you know, I'm going to release you from captivity, and they take you to the airport and then they say, oh, we've changed your mind. Well, it's to break people's spirits, to give them hope and then dash that hope. It's a wicked mind game to play, and one that coercive people have been doing for a very, very long time.
And I would say, you know, since I've been reinstated to Twitter, my experience is that it's worse than ever before. I think freedom of speech is worse. He says there's no trolls and no bots, but I think the algorithms basically keep you in more of an echo chamber than ever before. So there isn't any healthy debate going on. I've still got people being suspended. This is supposed to be freedom of speech. One of my good friends on there, the rotten corpse of Eddie Slayer, he went this week. Apparently some posted about the WF, possibly. We're not sure because, of course, they don't tell you. It isn't really that much better at all, is it? People are telling themselves it's better at the moment.
And I'm getting, which I never did, almost every day now, DMs from spam accounts, crypto accounts. It used to be, you know, that never happened until about 4 months ago for me. And every post that I've put up now for a year, within a second of me posting it, there's a spam bot. Have you heard about this new? And it's liked and retweeted by several other spam bots. I'm talking about within seconds, and this has been happening now for at least 6 months to a year. I'm not seeing any clampdown and getting rid of bots. If anything, I'm seeing more of them, but it's not a bad thing because it's driving me further off that platform, and I'm on it very little now. And you know what? It makes no damn difference. You're better off it. Anyone that gets banned, it's a blessing.
Yeah, and that's why in many ways seeing that, you know, this article, that's what it makes me think. It pushes me away from it because I just see it as a bit of a load of rubbish, to be honest. They're feeding us more lies. So, you know, we've got a little bit more time. We've got two more stories. One about corruption in the UK with Labour and Just Stop Oil. But the other one, quickly, if we can cover the how bad the situation is in South Africa at the moment. Mm-hmm. We've covered it before, but I think it's worth pointing out. They've lifted the interest rates to fight inflation, but it's just like putting a plaster on a gaping wound, isn't it, at the moment, Rick, in South Africa?
It is. We're trying to highlight other parts of the world, you know, because a lot of this isn't being reported back because it's catastrophic and it is coming our way. It has to start somewhere. But South Africa, you know, developed part of Africa, it's a mess in that country at the minute. So South Africa's central bank has just raised its main interest rate to a 14-year high, a move Governor Lesage Kajato described as bitter medicine. Bitter medicine needed to tame inflation. Well, it is bitter medicine, but it will not tame inflation. It doesn't matter what you raise the interest rates by, it won't tame inflation. And Fabio Vici, who comes on to my Locked and Loaded show about once a month, has done for years, he knows his onions when it comes to this, and he coined a great phrase. He said, raising interest rates is like tickling the feet of the inflation monster. You know Godzilla or King Kong? Imagine that monster and you go up and just tickle its feet. That's all you're doing. When you're raising interest rates, it has no bearing on inflation at all, but it's a bitter pill. It's bitter medicine is what he calls it. They're feeding us bitter medicine, Natalie, and they know it.
And that's what the governor of the South African Bank Reserve says. The medication might be bitter, but if the patient does not take the medication, then they will end up in surgery and intensive care. I mean, that's a load of rubbish. But the thing, my understanding is, you know, I'm not, I haven't got a qualification in economics, but once the economy is as bad as it is in South Africa, you know, if you've got a very steady economy, then if you do raise the interest rates, you might have some bearing on inflation. When it's this bad and it's this out of control and you've got load shedding and the rand's hitting all-time low against the dollar, I don't think a little bit of a raised interest rates is going to save the South African people and their economy, do you?
It's not. No, and what he said there was, it reminded me, I know he's a South African government minister, but all I could see was Nurse Ratched. Have you seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? Have you seen that movie?
A long time ago.
Watch it again. Watch it again in light of what's going on in the world right now. McMurphy's lining up with all the basket cases and he's seeing, but they want to medicate him and they give him a little cup. And he says, I'm not taking that. And this little nurse and her little friend say, well, Mr. McMurphy, you can do this the easy way or you can do this the hard way. And then they look at the two big mail orders and suggest he's going to have a suppository rammed up his ass. And guess what? He decides to comply, because if he doesn't comply, the end result will be much worse. It's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Watch that film again. I'm telling you, Natalie, you will see it in a whole new light in regards to what's going on in the world right now. That's my little tip to you today.
Yeah, and forced and coerced medical treatments as well. Lots of similarities to today's world. We may as well just quickly, this will be the first time, covered all six stories. But I thought this one was just pointing out for the corruption, really, because Labour faces a call to return 1.5 million donation from major backer of Just Stop Oil. If nothing else, I just wanted to show the bribery, the corruption, the lobbying. Politics is ridden with liars. And, basically, Labour have taken 1.5 million in donations from someone with Just Stop Oil. And then they said, oh, no, we weren't influenced by that when we've made decisions about Just Stop Oil. It's a joke, really, isn't it, Rick?
What these stories do, okay, the one that you've just mentioned, I suppose the people you talked about that you spoke to in the pub the other night, the 10 people that now all of a sudden are starting to see the light. This is the kind of story that can help to give them a judder. It just confirms what we already knew, that politics is rotten to the core. No matter what party you're in or what side you're on or what you represent, they're a corruption unchecked, and it's all linked in together. So the good thing is, I suppose, that this particular story, Keir Starmer continues to take money from Dale Vince, founder of Ecotricity, despite the UK entering its fifth week of disruption. It just highlights, maybe to your average or garden punter out there, that actually Labour aren't such a good thing. So let the Telegraph continue to print these stories.
Exactly.
It just confirms what we know, but maybe a few more. Maybe it'll be 12 people down the pub next week. They'll have read the Telegraph and said, hey, Natalie, I didn't realise Starmer was on the take from Just Stop Oil. You never know.
Absolutely. And it's worth pointing out as well that they've let this story come out, maybe because they had to. You know, sometimes, they've got to release something. So how many other stories are there like this? You know, this is just one. How much bribery and lobbying is there across the board? We're not just with Labour, with the Tory. Do you know what I mean? This is one small story. So, you know, my thing is, you know, look at it, look at the bigger picture here, because the corruption is widespread, not just UK, but global, isn't it?
And you never see a poor politician. You know, some of us have to make ends meet by taking on second jobs, maybe a pizza delivery or whatever. You don't see any Tories or any Labour politicians with a little domino sign in their car at the weekend doing home deliveries to make ends meet. No, they're all, well, allegedly. Many of them are on the take, allegedly. You know what I mean?
Allegedly. You never see a poor politician. But yeah, there you go. It's time for me to go. I'm going to go and have a nap to nurse my hangover, and I'll be back tomorrow in a much better place. Stay on with Rick for Locked and Loaded. He'll be there with Darren. See you tomorrow at 10. Bye-bye.